Hallelujah. What a blessing to be here. Excited to be here. Lift your hands. Thank God for today. Ask God for the spirit of revelation and wisdom. Wow. Father, what a blessing it is to be here in this wonderful church and this conference. We are grateful in Jesus' name. Guide us in this time that we are here together. Let the Holy Spirit have full control. Thank you, Lord, for the great blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What a blessing it is to be here. I thank God, first of all, for making this opportunity possible for us to be here in this Give Thyself Holy Conference. We changed the name from Ion Sharpeneth Ion, I believe you are aware, because it keeps when you Google, it keeps going to IS. And it's giving too many IS and ISI. It's having too many problems in terms of the, what do you call it? So we just changed our name to Give Thyself Holy, which is also a very good name. Give yourself holy to the Lord. Amen. So that's what this conference is about, giving ourselves holy to Jesus. I want to thank my oldest and best friend, Moses Sono, first and best international friend I had ever outside Ghana in the ministry. And has been a brother and a friend for so many years. And the old relationships are the best. My best people in my church are the oldest people that have been there. And I like old relationships. Because you don't have to explain many things. Even when you say something wrong, the person understands the right way. The right way of what you said wrong. Is it not true? When the person is new, you have to be very careful, because you can easily make a mistake and there will be a problem. All right. I want to thank all the wonderful board members for being here as well. Amen. It's an honor to see you all here in Soweto, South Africa. Hallelujah. I just came in from Panama City, South America. I was there for just 2 days. So it's a blessing to be here. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And I'm going to be sharing about what I call the determinants of ministry. The determinants of ministry. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. This is a verse everybody knows. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, isn't it? Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. All right? Can you hear me very well?
Yes.
Okay, great. So he says, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. So we are in a, I think I need a bit of volume on stage, just on this for me here, my monitors. Thank you. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. So that means that we are in a race. Most of the time, the speed accounts a lot in races. Okay. And then it says, "Nor the battle to the strong." most of the time when there is a war, fight, we need to carefully be strong, isn't it? Amen. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. You'll be defeated. And then bread to the wise. Most of the time, it is wise people who have bread to eat and food and all their needs met, isn't it? Basic needs. There are parts of the world where basic needs are not met. No running water, no electricity, no food, no basic things. Okay? And that basic, like bread, it comes to the wise. And then riches go to men of understanding. Okay? Riches is one step more than bread. Riches are things you don't really need, but you have. Isn't it? And that is assigned to men of understanding. Okay? Then the next one is favor to men of skill. Like usually, you become a darling boy in the palace when you have some skills. To have favor is to become a darling to somebody. Joseph became the darling everywhere he went. He went to Potiphar's house. He became the darling boy of Potiphar. Then he went to prison. He became the darling boy in prison. And he went to the Pharaoh. And he became the darling boy to the Pharaoh. And he was the darling boy to the end of his life. You are the next darling boy in town. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that you will experience. I said you are the next darling boy in town. Amen. So, favor. Favor to become a darling boy usually comes by having some kind of a skill. A skill of maybe caring for somebody. A skill of singing. A skill of speaking, where you speak. A skill of talking. Different skills make you liked. Sometimes just having an understanding eye or heart, or even just being around. A lot of people, you don't know what makes them rich. These are some of the things that make people rich. You don't even know what work they do. They have some skill that is useful. Yeah. And then, but time, then he says, time and chance happiness to them all. The next one is time. Time is very important. This scripture has seven things that determine what happens in your life and in the ministry. Ecclesiastes 9:11. You can remember it from September 11, like 9:11. This verse is like a crucial turning point verse. All right. So just to help you to remember the verse, 9:11 is also 9:11. Ecclesiastes. I see you in a turning point. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, time. The thing is that you may have the skill, or you may be very wise, but you got the timing wrong. You get what I'm saying? Like maybe you found how important communication is, and then you decided to go into telephones, but everybody has already gone into mobile phones. They saw it long ago, and so like you are a latecomer, so it's like it doesn't really help you much because your revelation is a bit outdated. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. And that is with the ministry. A lot of people are out of time. They're out of time. Sometimes they are late. A lot of people are late. Like maybe you found a revelation is prayer, a revelation about the anointing, but the time at which you found is just 4 years before you die. So you're not going to really be able to use it much for your life. And then the last is chance. Again, this is talking about like things that look like happenstance, fortune. Good fortune. You know, in the world today, a lot of the wiser people who talk about how to be wealthy, they will teach you that, you know, it's not really by the principles and hard work per se. It is by that, but they will teach you that a lot of people who do the things they have also done but have not been able to be successful, because what they say is that there's also a lot of good fortune and luck on their side. Sometimes when somebody's successful, it's like he was lucky. Apart from everything, he was lucky. Are you with me? Yeah. So that's what they say, chance. But we who know God and know the word of God know that a lot of things that you call chance are being orchestrated by God. So it may look by chance. Let's say there is a, by chance that I met Bishop Moses Sono or Bishop Oliver or any of the pastors that I know that are important in my life. And you may think it's just chance, but if you read the Bible, you know, perhaps one of the most interesting ones is when Moses' father and mother were going to give birth to Moses. The Bible said there was a young man who saw a lady, and then he went after her, and then she gave birth. So the guy who saw the lady, you know, God had planned it for him to give birth to Moses. So you think you've just fallen in love, but it's a plan. God is at work. Hallelujah. So these seven things determine. So let's go through the verse again, please. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. It says, I returned and I saw under the sun, okay, that, number one, the race is not to the swift. What it is that he uses the last two cancel the first five. You understand? The last two cancel the first five. So it means that all the seven together determine everything. I hope you understand me. The last two have a negative effect on the first five. Like you may be wise and you may have an understanding, but it's too late. That's what it means. Or you may be wise and understanding, but somebody else is chosen. By chance, it mixes up and you are not taken. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Like you are the best footballer in Soweto, but another person who is not as good was seen the day before when you came and you were very good, but your place has already been taken, so you can't be chosen anymore. They need only 11 players. And then that's it. So in effect, the seven things determine everything under the sun on earth. All right? And the same things determine ministry. It determines prosperity, and also determines, for those of you who love prosperity, these seven things determine a lot of prosperity. Yes. And those of you who love ministry work, these seven things also determine all the things that happen in the ministry under the sun. So I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. So in other words, races belong to the swift. So speed. And remember that we are in a race. I've run my race, Paul said. So speed. Then battle to the strong. You need to be strong physically and spiritually to do what we are supposed to do. So battle is for the strong. Bread to the wise. You need some basic wisdom in order to have bread for your life. Amen. And bread in the ministry. And to prosper. Some basic wisdom. Okay? Then understanding. All right? Understanding. Those two gives riches. Okay? And favor to men of skill. That is, favor is to become a darling boy. When you are a preacher, you need to be a darling boy. Like, people have to choose to listen to you. People have to choose to come to where you are. People have to choose to come to your church. People have to choose. They are always choosing you. That's what it means by favor. Like all the people in the town or all the people in Soweto have chosen your church to come to. You are their darling boy. Bishop Musa is the darling boy of Soweto. That's why they all come to the church here. Yes. Yeah. To favor is to be chosen. I like you. I'm choosing you. No, there's this church, there's that church, there's Angels Church, Light Church, Power Church, Candle Church, every church. I like this church. It's to be chosen. Yeah. You are the next darling boy that is being released in town in Jesus' name. Yeah. And then, time. This conference, whatever makes you not walk quickly in time, that you are like out of time. You bring food when it's not time for food. You bring food after we've eaten. You do things out of sync. Whatever is causing that in your life, I declare it cursed today in Jesus' name. Yeah. And then chance. Your life is not ruled by chance. No, the chance that you need, and God is orchestrating everything for you. Amen. So all these are very important to determine. Look, understanding. Understand, if you want to understand what understanding is, think of a nurse and a doctor. A nurse studies the same subjects a doctor studies. Nurses study anatomy, physiology, biochemistry. Is there any nurse here? See, you are here. When I tell a lie, you stand up, okay, and say that you are lying, all right? Nurses study anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, they study psychiatry, they study surgery, they do medicine, pharmacology, ophthalmology, everything that a doctor studies, they study. Yeah. And then a doctor also studies it. But the doctor studies more. Far more. Of the same topic. He knows far more of the same subject than a nurse does. Yes. So the same disease you have, the nurse has studied that sickness and also has a vague idea, but the idea is limited. That's why some companies, something limited, it's limited. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, if you needed a heart operation, would you want a nurse to do it? Even though the nurse has done surgery, studied surgery in school. The extent to which the person understands the same thing is far less. So the person has greater understanding of the same thing. So that is why you see people will say, oh, I'm teaching about loyalty. But you see somebody else has a greater understanding of loyalty than you do. And that is so, the difference between being wise and being a person of understanding is you know more, you study more, you have a greater latitude of experience, a wider way of thinking. You understand? And that understanding comes from studying wider, and also comes a lot from traveling. Yes. People who don't travel around have a limited understanding of what is happening. They are very limited because you've not seen certain things before. Yes. One day a pastor said to me, he said, he came around, one of my pastors, he came around and he said, you make ministry exciting and everybody's happy to be in the ministry. And I was wondering what he was saying, because I wasn't doing anything unusual. But I think where he was before, everybody who is a minister is looked very serious and very sad. It's like, we are so sorry that we are pastors. (Laughter)
Yes. But it's a blessing to be a pastor. And we are happy to be pastors and to serve God. But some people make it out, the way they go about it, it's like you feel very sad. It's like God has called me. Hey. I can only pray and burn candles in my room and be very serious in a certain way. No. We are happy to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. We don't have anything better to do than to just be in the house of the Lord and to serve Him. Yes. So you may not know because you've never traveled and you've never seen certain things. So the wider your understanding is, the wider you start to see many things differently. Yeah. I've been to so many countries. So coming to South Africa, and you know, I'm coming from Panama. That's South America. They speak Spanish. They don't understand a word of English. There are black people there and a lot of people my color. They don't everybody's my color there. Yeah. They don't have those descriptions, colored black there. They just have people. Yes, they just have people. Yeah. You wouldn't know till you go somewhere else that there's nothing like that there. And a lot of black people, because I think a lot of black slaves were taken there. I don't know how they got there, but they are there. Are you with me? Yeah. And you see churches, big churches, people believing in God, doing wonderful things. Yeah. So you have a broader picture of the work of God, of ministry. Yes. Than you would when you just stay in one place. So it's important to travel. Traveling brings a lot of education. That's why I spend money. You may think I'm wasting money. Sometimes you see me, I will arrive somewhere with 20 people. Even in Panama, I just went one day. I arrived one day, stayed one day, and left the next day. I actually stayed there only one day. But I came with so many. I had more people. We went for a dinner. I think there were about 50 people. Half of the people, I brought them for the dinner. We were invited for a dinner. They came with me. Yeah. I said, oh, you are here. Wonderful. Come along. See. And it widens your understanding. So you wonder, because a person without understanding, you know, you ask him, sweep the church. He said, why should I sweep the church? You can't come and tell us what to do here. Yeah. In my church, I find it easier to speak to a graduate from the university and tell him to sweep the church than a non-graduate. The non-graduates feel you are demeaning them. They feel you don't respect them. Why do you tell me to sweep the church? Who do you say? Will you tell your son to sweep? Wow. But what does going to the university do? It broadens. You got the university, you learn the same subject that you learn in secondary school, primary school. If it's chemistry, physics, the name is the same. Chemistry, economics. Ask people what they learned to university. They will tell you same. But just bigger mind. Yeah. So the broader your mind is, the more understanding, then you understand different things. And that makes you rich. It says riches to men of understanding. Your lack of understanding makes you a dangerous person. Yes. Because when you lack understanding in a country, you are the head of a country. You not know the importance of pastors. Like you say, oh, what are these people? What do they do? They just stand there collecting money. It's because your mind is limited. It's limited. Yes. But when you are brother, you will know that these people are very important. If they were not there, the whole country would change. Yes. Executing people, killing people. People have different ways of thinking about it. But overthrowing governments. Just overthrow these people. Let them go. Let them go. It's not that simple to let people go. You see it practically. So, these seven things determine what happens in our lives. And really, honestly, it determines prosperity, speed. If I hadn't come into the ministry when I was 25 years old, I'm now going to start to do what? This is out of time. You missed the time. Yeah. Almost anybody who does well started at the same age that we started. You start young. My son said he wants to be in the ministry. I said, start now. That's all. That's all. And then chance is the element of God, grace. Amen. So brothers and sisters, let us think of these wonderful things in relation to ministry. So I have this book here. Everybody say a book. Do you know a book is a very great thing? This book is called The Art of Ministry. And let me tell you, and this is one of the main things I want to share with you about ministry. Yeah. You know, a book is how we know God. Few people here have had real visions. Few. One day I saw somebody said he has seen Jesus. I said, explain in detail what you mean by you've seen Jesus. Explain it in detail. Then as he was explaining, I said, then may I have also seen Jesus based on what you are saying. Yeah. Few people have had certain types of visions. We are few. And we should pray for it more. But most of us have a book. And that book is the book through which we know about God. And that book is called the Bible. So you must have great respect for books as a servant of God. So anybody who wants to serve God, and by the way, this is a conference for ministry. Yeah, it's about ministry. It's about working for Jesus Christ. Anybody who wants to work for God must greatly respect books. The Bible, which is the number one book, must greatly respect the art of reading and the importance of reading, no matter where you come from. You cannot bring reading and books lower in your life if you are serious. That is the number one way. No matter how advanced we get, is books. Now, turn with me to a wonderful scripture that I believe we all know already. Revelations chapter number 4. How many have read Revelation chapter 4? Let's read it together. After this, I looked. I'm just showing you something in Revelation that we move on. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. How many would like a door to be open in heaven for you to go and see something? And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet speaking, talking with me. Next time you hear a voice that sounds like a trumpet, know that Jesus is calling you. We said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Father, open our eyes. And immediately I was in the spirit. This is why we are not seeing visions, because we are not spiritual. We are in the flesh. But from today, today marks the beginning of you going into the spirit. And behold, what did I see? A throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. You can see this rainbow in the Victoria Falls up by the border, Zimbabwe and Zambia. Round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Wow. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. How many want to hear lightnings, thunderings, and voices from the throne of God? Wow. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of God, which are the seven spirits of God. Bible says we should be imitators of God. Before the throne and the seat of your ministry must be seven lamps that are burning. And these seven lamps are the seven spirits. You see, the Holy Spirit, spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of knowledge, they are the lamps that must be burning in front for your ministry. Yes. It's what is giving light and guidance to what God has called you to be. Seven spirits of God. Verse 6, and before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Wow. And round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Receive more eyes. Yeah, the more eyes you have, the more you can see many things, understand more things. Yes, we are limited with just two eyes. Receive eyes. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Hey! And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes. Receive more eyes. Within, there were eyes inside these beasts. Yeah. It's light, you see, it's to see, to understand. And they rest not night and day, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Are you with me? This is the throne of God. Oh, listen, we've never seen it before. This is the throne right there. 24 elders who were redeemed. I think they are all either human beings, pastors, people who have been preachers. Because they sing a song that thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood. These 24 elders. Yeah. I feel they are men of God or ministers or I don't know, people who have been saved. But they sing. You see them singing. These 24 elders. And then the four living creatures or the four beasts. They are also there full of eyes. And then the seven lamps in front. And the one who is in the throne, they are not really describing him. This is God. Verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory, honor, and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory, honor, and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Wow. By the way, just look at all right, anyway. How many want to see God? We can't really see God, but you can know something about God. And today I want to show you something about God himself. And I know you've never seen that about God himself. Because it's not easy to know God. Because they describe those around, but they never describe him. Huh? So I'm going to show you something about God that's going to surprise you. We don't know what he looks like and what is all happening there, but there's something amazing. Just go to the next verse. You see. Chapter 5. Verse 1. And I saw, again, they are not describing him. But I saw in the right hand, he has a right hand. He has a right hand. And what is in his right hand? What is in his right hand? What is in his right hand? What is in the right hand of him that is sitting on the throne? Him that sat on the throne. What is in his right hand? What is in his right hand? A book. Clap for God Almighty. Look at what God himself is holding. A book. Aye. The one on the throne, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book. So like God has not been described, he looks like this, he had it, but we see that he has a right hand. And in his right hand is a book. It's enough. It's enough for you to go and hold every book that God is putting in your hand. Yes, a book in heaven. We don't know. Look, God is the most obscure person we can ever know about or ever see. He's totally hidden out of sight. But one thing we know is that in his right hand is nothing else than a book. Receive whatever book God wants to put in your right hand. If Almighty God has a book in his right hand, what should be in your right hand when you are going to the toilet? I say, what should be in your right hand when you are walking into the toilet? What should be in your right hand when you are walking to your car? What should be in your right hand when you are sitting down to pray? A book. Very important. Very important. Very important. Written within and on the backside and sealed with 7 seals. You see, books are sealed. You can't understand what is written in books. But if you were to understand what is written in books, you will be amazed. So in heaven, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? You see, it is your worthiness that makes God even put books into your hand. Yes, like he considers you worthy. Like you are a good person. And that you are worthy of a blessing for him to put a book into your hand. You are worthy of a blessing. There are so many books that, I mean, like the fact that Kenneth Hagin's book was put into my hand as a child, as a teenager, for me to read. It means maybe God found me worthy to put that book in my hand. God is finding you worthy today to put a book into your hand. Now, the problem with this book is that, and with many books, are that they are sealed. Yeah. You know, look, I once went to preach somewhere. 16 years later, I came back to the same place to preach. And I realized that I had changed. When I had gone there younger, I was urgently trying to achieve something. But 20 years later, 16 years later, I realized that my attitude was different. My attitude was like, if you want, you can have it. It's up to you. I have the same thing to offer. If you like, you can take it. Yeah. God is not trying to impress you. And he's not desperate for your approval or your choosing him. Why do you think Jesus did many of his miracles in front of a few people? Like the big, big miracles. They were all done privately. Why would he not do it where everybody was there? It's not like us. We want a lot of people to believe in us. He doesn't need you. Who are you? Who are you? I don't understand your problem. But I realized that it had taken me 16 years to relax and say, hey, you want what I'm saying? You can have it. You don't want? It's up to you. I realized it had taken me 16 years to relax. Why would Jesus drive away people when he's going to do a miracle? When he's going to walk on the water, it's just the 12 disciples. When he's raising the dead, it's just some few people. He'll ask people, go away, go out. let me perform. It's just a private thing. You are nothing and I am nothing. He doesn't need you and you are a dot. Look, let me explain something, how much of a dot you are. Do you know the sun? The sun. Do you know how big the sun is? Is thousands of times bigger than the earth. Yes. Even Jupiter is 1,000 times bigger than this earth. If you have them, you see Jupiter will be like this, big ball like this, and earth will be small like that. Then it goes, and then there's the sun. Huge! So, when you start from the sun, big, huge, okay? Then you come to the first planet, Mercury. It's going around the sun. Venus, like the tennis player. The next one, Venus. Is it not true? It's coming. Next time you see, I'm going to have them in my office. You see all the planets like that. Venus, then Earth. The next one is Earth. That's the sun. So when you are here on the Earth, you see how big the sun is. It's coming. We are going for it. Then Mars. Is it not true? Then Saturn. Then Jupiter, which is 1,000 times bigger. Then Uranus, Pluto. When you take a camera, because now they sent a spaceship in 1997, it got to Saturn 2005. I mean, at top speed, it was going 1,000 miles per hour per second. It reached in 2005. Started taking pictures. And as they sent it far, and it was taking pictures of the earth and the sun like this. By the time it got to this Uranus and this place, and they photograph, you know what has happened to the sun? The sun had become one of the stars. Like you see all the stars, and the sun was one of the stars. Very small, and it was among plenty stars. Yeah. So the sun that we are seeing is one of the many stars.
And you,
all these planets have nobody on them. Some of them have got gases, explosions going around. Saturn, I mean, you can't even understand how beautiful. You see rings. It's like a fantastic ball. And God has never minded all these years. We haven't seen it till we sent cameras to go and film it. He doesn't mind that you don't know what he has created. Because you are nothing. You don't know all these wonderful things that he has done. It's not bothered to show all these things to you. It's taken 2,005 years before they saw the real Saturn rings. And they sent one camera down to Pluto, and you see the sun is one star. So what are the other stars? Wow! And you are here in Soweto. Even South Africa, then Soweto is a small dot in South Africa. And the Earth is the only planet which has a blue covering. Everywhere is all these gases, but except Earth is blue. There is a blue atmosphere. Here, when you look at Earth, it's always blue. And here we are. God doesn't need to impress you. He doesn't need you at all. We are lucky if we know Him. We are lucky. Yeah, we are really lucky to know God. Yeah. So he has a book in his hand. Nobody was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. So even to have the book that you open is a blessing. To look is a blessing. Then you see John beginning to cry. This is the only time he cried in the whole of Revelation. Look at verse 4. He starts crying. I wept. Why? Because there was no man found worthy to open the book and to read the book. The only time he started crying was when people were not reading. There was no reader around. There was nobody there reading who could read this book. And John was a happy person, always close to Jesus. This is the only time we see him crying. I wept so much because nobody was found worthy. Like, there was no reader. Black people, we have a lot to read. I hear black people don't like reading much. Is it true? Except you. I said, except you. Whatever represents a lack of reading in your life, I declare it cursed and cancelled in Jesus' name. Angels are crying in heaven as they look at you not reading. I didn't write the Bible. Read it. It's in the Bible. We are reading the Bible. Angels are crying. John is crying. Look at her. She will read. Always doing her hair but never doing the books. To even open a book. Even open a book. And you see, the lowest people in the society are those who don't read. The lowest. Do you see those who are selling groundnuts and plantains and whatever on the roadside? Do you see them holding books and reading? Like this? Or even, I need my reading glasses. They are selling meat outside. Chisanyam, I say, give me just 1 minute. I'm just checking one revelation before I sell you the Chisanyam. Have you seen it before? Have you seen it before? Ow! But have you seen a doctor reading something? I'm just checking something. Just a 1 second. 1 second. I want to just... Yes! The highest part of the society, you see them reading. The lowest part of the society, they don't read. They just watch you.
and we are going for lunch. We are fasting, we are praying, we are praying, we are fasting.
Fasting and praying, but no reading. One of the saddest things in my life is to go and wait on God and He's not minding me. I need a revelation. Revelation is like light. And always, you see, one of the reasons why revelation, when it comes, like when you are reading a book, it's like light comes. The reason why it's wonderful to you is because revelation is usually associated with the presence of angels. Yes. You see, if you jump back to Revelation chapter 1, you see, he said, I sent my angel. Is the one helping me, guy there? Chapter 1, verse 1. I need your help or I go back on stage if you are working with me. Yeah. All right. Listen. Revelation. When you are having revelation, usually there's an angel. It says, the revelation of Jesus which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant. You find often when God is giving a revelation, there will be usually, that's why there's a certain feeling. Like if you read a book, yes, there's a certain feeling. I can say, oh no, this is wonderful. All the messages to the church, he said, and the angel of the church of Sardis, say this one. The angel of Laodicea, say this one. And the angel is sent to deliver the message to the church. And so you see that when there is light or there is a message, you see that it's like there's something that comes, like there's a feeling, especially those who are spiritual. Oh man, you love it. You love it. And you see that the presence of angels is associated heavily with the presence of revelation and light for your life. Yes. It's not just fasting and praying and just dry. Fasting and praying is like there's light and revelation. It's like, wow, this is what I must do. This is what is happening. And you see that God sends angels. My God. Go back to chapter 5. You were on verse 4. I wept much. This was my saddest point. I found no one worthy to read. Verse 5. And one of the angels, the eldest, said, don't cry. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. You see, that word prevailed means maintain his course. You see, if you don't maintain your course of ministry or God's calling, a book will not even be interesting to you. When I checked the meaning of the word prevail, it said he to maintain your course, like the course of the line that you have chosen. Most of us in the ministry we have not maintained the course that we are on. That's why even certain revelations don't come to you. But this lion of tribe of Judah has prevailed. He has fought on. That's why God made me read about John Wesley. Some of you have never read about John Wesley because you have not prevailed to a certain point in the ministry where his life will have any meaning to you. Yeah. Many books will not have any meaning. When I read the book, The Art of Ministry, it will have no meaning to you. Because what you need to even read is what it means to be saved. You need salvation. You need pure salvation book. What it means to be saved. Not a book about ministry. Yeah. He has prevailed. Are you prevailing? You will prevail from now. This conference marks the beginning of your prevailing. You are prevailing. You are prevailing. You are maintaining your course. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And I beheld. Stood a lamp, having been slain. 7 eyes, 7 spirits. Now turn to Revelation chapter 10. Again, you see.
And because we don't see angels, we don't know when they are there. But usually, chapter 10, verse 1, Revelation 10, verse 1. Again, you see, that's why this book is one of the most important. And can you believe they almost took it out of the Bible? These Revelations. They took this one and the book of Enoch out. And they never put the book of Enoch back in. If they had left the book of Enoch in, we would have understood so much more about demons. Yeah. And how they came to be. Yeah. It was part of the Bible for 500 years. They were using it. And they took it out. But this one, they took it out because all these angels, four living creatures, they don't like it is too spooky. And it's like, what is this? You know, we don't understand it. How do you want to understand this? You see, God is not... Anyway, look. I saw another mighty angel, again, coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun. So when you look at the face of the angel, you think you are looking at the sun. His feet were like pillars of fire. This is a mighty angel. This is not God, oh. This is not God. This is a mighty angel. Now, look at this angel. One, he had in his hand a little... Look, you see, what is he having in his hand? This mighty angel. What is he holding again? He's holding nothing else but a book. And look at how big the angel is. He set his right foot in the sea and his left foot in the land. Can you imagine from Soweto to the sea? Where is the sea? Where is the sea? Huh? Cape Town. Oh no, you don't have to go to Cape Town to get to the sea. Can't you go through Swaziland or along the side somewhere? The nearest sea is Cape Town. Durban. Mozambique. Just across. We don't have to make the angel bigger than he is. Just from Soweto to the sea. And high up in the air, he will be higher than the tallest aeroplane. I am sure sometimes when we are flying, you see the angel will be just looking at this. Look at this. The children are passing by. Small boys and girls are in the plane. When I touch you now, you go down. Fathers, Elijah, God bless you. You are welcome, sir. Dr. Mashwangani. Hey! This book is showing us that Almighty God, we don't know what he looks like. We know he has a hand, and we know that in his hand is a book.
Thank you, Bishop.
That's enough. We can go home now. We can go home now. You don't even have to stay for tomorrow or the day after. You can go now. And then this is the biggest angel on record anywhere. This is the biggest angel. Revelation 10 angel is a big angel. There's no bigger angel. Right foot in the sea, left on the land. Angels are not this little type of like a gorilla or a kind of, you know, a gorilla with wings or something. It's here, mighty. No, I mean, people have seen angels around me. I personally haven't seen them. But there are people who spotted angels around me a number of times. And no one has ever been. Just one was tall, much taller than you, bigger. And Kenneth Hagin has also described an angel. He was standing, a huge guy who was much taller than him, standing behind him. And the Lord told him, this angel is going to bring you some money in about 2 months' time. Yeah. Angels bring money. Ask Elijah, he provided for him for a long time whilst he was in the ministry. Receive your angel bringing what you need. Yes. Receive your angel. Oh, yes. People will mention angels and different things, but this Revelation 10 is the big one. Right leg in the sea. Even if it was by the coast, you know, it will still be a long way. Very tall. Huge. And what is he having in his hand again? A little book. He carries books. Verse 3. And he cried with a loud voice. Hey! Now jump to verse 7. So I don't have to go up. 7. Verse 8.
And the voice which I heard from heaven, this is Revelation chapter 10. We are in chapter 10. We've read verse 1, 2. He talks about something else in the middle. Then he comes back to the book. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel. You see, you can't go to God and take the one that is in his hand. But this angel, I said, angels are associated with revelation. When God is giving you some new light, new something is coming to your life, your ministry, there's some angel somewhere. All through the book of Revelation, said there's an angel somewhere. Go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. Verse 9. And I went to the angel. You will go to your angel. You will go to your angel. You will go to your angel. And I said to him, give me the little book. 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 Give me the book. You see, until you yourself want the book, the book will be given to... Look, I can tell you, I don't want to lie to you. This conference, if we want to, we can make a set of this book, which is called the Makarios, available for everybody free, if we want to. We have enough money. Those of you who say you are in prosperity, we have enough money to do that. Let's see if you can do that. Those of you who are prosperity preachers. Yes. But you see, until you come to the point where you say, give me the book. Give me the book. Give me the book. Give me the book. Until there's hunger. And until you yourself see what is a book. And until you value it, it is of no use to you. Yeah. Because the angel was standing there with the book. That's why he's there. He hasn't been told to give it. He has been told to hold it. It is you who is being told, go and say, give me this book now. Give me the book now. Give me the little book. And he said unto him, take it. Eat it up. Not read it, oh. Eat it. That's why books don't benefit you. Because you are reading them instead of eating them. When you eat, the thing becomes part of you.
Amen.
So it is not like, I mean, the message is somebody's message. Sometimes I see people say, oh, Bishop, sir, we preach your book. Don't worry about preaching my book. Eat it. It will become your message. When you preach, people will not know unless you tell them. They will say, my God, what is this man saying? I'm too blessed. Don't bother. You are blessed. It is the word of God. It's not about my book. What do I also know? Eat it. Eat it. Oh yes. Give it to me. Eat it. When I went to Kenneth Hagin in Tulsa, I entered the bookshop and I said, give me, I was with some people and I told them, pick, go to the shelves, pick everything, one of everything, pick all. The bookshop was confused. The bookshop manager was confused. We gathered everything. At the point, the man said, you know something, there is another, you belong in another, we have another place for wholesale. I think that is what you need. If you can leave the ones in the shop, let me take you to another place. It was like, Irella was not an ordinary... Yeah. Yes, I'm a hungry man. Shouted, said, give me the book. Give me the book. Yes. And take it. And eat it. Eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but in thy mouth it shall be sweet. The sweetness of the word is when you are clapping. This one is the sweet part. The bitter part is when you start obeying it. You see that it's not as easy. It's not as easy.
When you are hearing it, it sounds beautiful. But when you start to implement it, you may say, God has called me. The day you go to the mission field and say, I am now here, the world will say, we are welcome here. But the world will not yield up its souls to you that easily. You may hear the story of the determinants, but when you go, it's not going to yield it practically to you. The money and the prosperity. This is what happened to me. I took Kenneth Hagin's books. I ate them. That's why I would not like to have a conference without without a book. Because I know I can preach for just 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. But it's the books. It's you having time to eat the books. When you start to have revelation, you start to change. It's like light. Wisdom will start to come to you. Then people will start to hear you differently. Then people will start to say, what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are wrought by his hands? You see, mighty works are a result of the wisdom that you have. What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? What wisdom? Or Matthew, whence has this man this wisdom? Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did he get this wisdom and these mighty works? Yeah. Wisdom. So when he came to his go back. I went to the angel, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up, shall make thy belly bitter, but in thy mouth sweet as honey. Read verse 10. This is what's going to happen to you. I took the little book out of it. Now listen, I'm not an angel. I'm flesh and blood. I even have children. I'm not an angel. Okay? I'm not an angel. This is your big confusion. Do you think you are actually going to literally see an angel? That angel is here in this room now, giving out books to you. That's what is happening. Holding the book straight over your head. If you can believe it. You will never see spirits. Look, one time I was having a miracle service. As I was preaching, an angel appeared on my side. Anytime I said, God is healing you, I receive your whatever those kind of proclamations, the angel had a parcel. I'll never forget this vision. The angel had a parcel and would throw it into the congregation. And there were smaller angels which would take the parcels to people. Some had lifted their hands and put in their hand. Some were sleeping, they just bypass the sleepers and go to the people. Every hand that is open today is receiving a book. Yes. Your confusion, you see, your confusion is that this scripture is saying that, and there was a man who brought a book. That's where you are deceived. This one is saying the angel came with the book. That's what's happening now. Wow. That's what's happening now.
An angel here.
Yes. Oh. Look, I want to say something. And this is one of the seven lamps burning in front of the throne. It is the most essential lamp of the seven lamps that are burning. It's the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you, like wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, might, whatever. The most important is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. What is that? That spirit, you see, when you take a lot of American, British, European scientists, what I'm telling you about the stars and the planets, they discover and then they will say, yes, you see, and there was an explosion. I heard the man saying, there was an explosion. How did all these things happen? There was an explosion and then it all came together and these rings formed. Look, I knelt down in my room and asked God to forgive the man for what he was saying. Because without the spirit of the fear of God, like attributing things to God, you will never task to do well in your life and your ministry. You have to learn to attribute things to God. In fact, I had a man of God, Bishop Oyedepo. He said something on. He said something. He said, "You must convince yourself that this is God." Yes, he said, "You must convince yourself that this thing can only be God." If you don't think that way, you don't have the spirit of the fear of the Lord, like the attributing of things to God. You must convince yourself that this one is from God. Because what happens is that when you don't, you attribute it to something else, like an explosion, by chance, by this, by that, and that is the danger. That's the danger of science and knowledge and wisdom and earthly ideas, because they don't have the spirit of the fear of God. So they attribute it to something else, and that makes them mad. Wow. Wow. And many of us pastors are going mad because we are not attributing things to God. Wow. We are off course. A very casual interaction with this brother, Mosasono. How many years ago? It must be 30, I'm sure. It's about 30 years. You may want to say, "Oh, but you are just watching television," or "but he's this." No, I don't see it that way. Wow. You see, this is what Bishop Oyedepo said. He said, "You must convince yourself that this thing is because of God, or God is the one who is doing this." If you don't convince yourself, another explanation is about to land on you and explain everything away in a natural way. Yeah, it's going to, you will explain everything. Say, this is why this, except God. Oh, yes. Look at all of us here today. You must convince yourself that it is God. If you don't convince yourself, you will get another explanation just now. You'll be surprised. You'll say that all these people are coming for free food. Yeah. Please, back to my... Yeah. I took the little book. So as you see me standing here, think. God has brought this man. The angel is here physically. Practically. As you see me introducing books and introducing to and encouraging you to see the greatness of a book and what God can do for you, what he has done for us through the Bible. And all these books are only about the Bible. There's no fiction. And there are no things that are not related to the Bible. It's all Bible. If it's not from the Bible, just throw it away. It's nothing. It's useless. It's not a business. Yeah. And it was bitter. Try to see the God element. You don't have to see the angel physically. Most of us will not see. That's why whenever one person has a vision, you must take it and hold fast to visions. A few people have visions. Peter and Cole, they never saw a vision of Jesus. It was Mary Magdalene who saw and came and told them. That's all. We have that one. He saw him in the garden. That is all. Just hold on to that Mary Magdalene's vision, because few of us are going to have such Magdalenian visions where you see the person is like the gardener. You hold the person physically. Even Peter, none of them had it. Oh. Magdalena. And verse 11 is the super verse. That then after that, after eating the book, what is going to happen? Thou must prophesy. You see, that prophesying is preaching. The Bible, you see, what you must know is that the Bible, the scripture, is completely a prophecy, because the Bible says no word of prophecy came forth by a man's own interpretation. The word of prophecy, the whole Bible is prophetic, is predictive and prophetic. All preaching is predictive and prophetic. Oh yes. Thou must prophesy again before many people.
many people. God is going to make you have many people listening to you. And what does it come from? From reading the book. He made him eat the book and he said, now you've eaten the book, it's become bitter. You are now going to prophesy to many people. Look at me. I cannot even rest. Christmas is not even over. I have to move to go and prophesy in Panama. Can you imagine? Yeah. To thousands of people. And you say you must convince yourself. I love that. I love when I heard Bishop Oyedepo saying that, I said, wow. You must convince yourself that it must be God. Because I don't know any Ghanaian or Nigerian or South African who is going to preach in such places like Panama. Do you? No? Like somebody like you. Wow. It's unusual. Yeah. Many people. When you see a large crowd, like we are having a conference. This is South Africa. We are having a conference in the morning. It's not a weekend. It's not Sunday. You have to see the element of God. Yes. And it's not a prosperity. There's no money cometh. Oh. There's no money cometh. Money cometh. No. We are sharing, and he says you must prophesy many people. The smallness of your congregation is directly related to the smallness of your reading. Yes. The smallness of your congregation is directly related to the smallness of your reading, and also the understanding that you are getting from the reading. Because you don't read with listening to messages. Doctor, where is this thing? Makana and whatever. Where are they? Give to me. Because you don't listen to messages. You don't understand books very well. Thank you. Just give me one or two. Yeah. Because you don't listen, you don't understand. Because to write everything, every book would be very big. When you see, you won't read it because of the size alone will discourage you. So we are often limited in writing, because to write everything, you cannot. So you don't understand many of the things you read. When Philip who went and saw the black man reading the book, he said, understand that thou what thou readest. Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Hey! Mercy! We are reading, but we are not understanding. Understandest thou what thou readest? It's because you are not into such things. I have listened to messages. I flew 11 hours from Panama to where the flight that took me, then cross over another 6 hours, and then 11 hours here. I'm only listening to preaching. Yeah. You don't listen to preach. I'm already preaching to many people. And I'll preach to more in Jesus' name. The smallness of your reading and the lack of understanding what thou readest. Understandest thou what thou readest? That is why your group is small. And you see, don't be deceived by the largeness of your building. You may have a big building, but not so many people come there. Practically. Many people. Then, and then he said, to many tongues, nations. Whatever restricts you to South Africa is lifted today. Yes. We have churches in 79 countries. Yes. 79 countries. Amen. You are restricted if you are only in South Africa. I release you after this conference to the whole world. Some of you, the anointing on your life is not respected because you are always a prophet prophesying in your own house. They know you, so they say, this is what he's saying. Our man, he's come again, we know. Today will be about Abraham, we know. He only has two sermons, Abraham and Moses. But if you were to take that Abraham message one day to Colombia, you will be amazed. Many nations. I never knew I was anointed till I went to Colombia. It was Colombia that I saw that there was an anointing. Yeah. I remember, you know, the lady who always announced the miracles, you know, she was the one who encouraged me so much. My pastors, you know, they would sit, not Bishop Saki and Bishop Eddie, the other pastors, they would sit on the stage when I was doing miracle service. And sometimes they will fall asleep. And they will fall asleep. As I'm saying, be healed. The healing was waking up. Like they were hearing, wake up. I was saying, be healed. And they were here, wake up. There were not many miracles. There were some miracles, but not many. There were some, but not outstanding miracles. Yeah. The fever when I went to Colombia, I was in Barranquilla. And testimonies, Bible said that testimonies are your counselors. As I'm giving this testimony, I'm not talking about myself. God is counseling you through what you are hearing. You are hearing something. God is counseling you. Yeah. When I went to Colombia, the year 2000, wow, in a big stadium, I was preaching. And there, the same interpreter who was with me yesterday, 2 days ago, same guy, were together. It felt like a miracle service. People were healed. Recently, I sent my apostle to that city because we are looking at starting some church. When he went and said, Dad, he was, we only remember the miracles from that 5 days. And there was a boy who was raised from the dead. He's now 16 years old. Wow. Yeah, he's around there. But where I was in my prophet in my own home, only basic headaches and migraines were healed. That's why I'm telling you that God wants to see you in certain nations. That's when you see what a powerful man of God you are. You are just being discouraged in your house every day by your people. They make you feel so useless. You preach and preach and preach and preach. You'll be sweating. They'll be looking at you. When are you going to finish? Some of the people
don't even know the part of the message where you will start shouting. Like your message, exactly 36 minutes, you start shouting. And then you continue. Wow. God, listen. Your ministry will not be complete until you go through these four cycles. You are going to speak to many people. That means that small congregations are turning into big congregations through reading. And again, you may say, how can it be? That is why you must have faith. And then nations and tongues. You need interpretation because of the different languages you are speaking to. You are lifted into a realm where you always need an interpreter. Most of the time now I need an interpreter. And some of you have never needed interpreters. It shows that you are restricted to one tongue. Through reading of books, you are going to speak to many tongues. Yes. And that's one of the reasons why I also formed the board. Because through the board, there's a lot of interaction. People travel. I am only trying to encourage pastors to do better. And when you travel, you will see, wow, I was so well received. Yes. That's why I like to host pastors, especially in Accra. I want pastors to feel good. Because you are great people, but in your house, you see the way. Look, one day I went somewhere with a pastor, right? And he was a board member of another organization which I was also a part of. And his church members saw him. They saw a car coming for him. And they saw the people attending to him. And his church members started laughing and said, hey, you are a big man here. Wow. They were laughing at him. Say, hey, you are a big man here. You know? Yeah, I saw them laughing at him. I said, wow. Because where he is, they don't even salute. They don't honor him. A lot of pastors are not honored. But I want to honor pastors. Pastors are God's servants. Amen. Are you listening to me? And God wants to give us opportunities to go to different nations. Yeah. So start practicing your healing ministry in your church. Because when you go to other nations, they are going to need something more than 3.7-point sermon. Yes. Because their pastor is also giving 7 points. 3 points. They want some signs and wonders. Amen. Amen. Practice in your church. God will open your Colombia for you. You'll be surprised. Yes. Hallelujah. And then kings. You are going to speak to kings. Yes. It takes the power of God to speak to the head of state. You'll be there. Oh, I said you will be there. I said you will be there. In Jesus' name. They will know you. I said they will know you. They will know you. Yes. And you have something to say. You can take a picture. You can take a picture. Even though Jesus didn't take pictures with Herod and Pontius Pilate. There were no cameras then. Yes, selfies. You can take a selfie. In Jesus' name. How many realize that a book is a very important thing? This is Revelation chapter 10. You see, the whole revelation has to do with books. Almighty God is sitting on the throne holding a book like this. This hugest, biggest angel is standing there with one leg in the sea, one leg on the land, holding a book. Come and take. Wow. So, brothers and sisters, at this conference, we are making this market. That's why it's as cheap. Last year, it was being sold for $240 or $2,000, whatever. Yeah. I want you to have it. If you read it,
If you read, start to read. Because what are the seven determinants? What's the scripture for determinants? 9-11. Put it back there. 9-11. Put it back there quickly. And I returned and I saw another son. That the race is not to the swift. So races belong to the fastest, isn't it? What's the 100 meters guy? What is his name? Usain Bolt. Yeah. And the second is what? What's his name? Yeah, I was in Jamaica. I saw him training. We were having a shepherd's camp. And the university where we had the camp, that's where he was training. And I was amazed. Because he tied a band like this. And he ran. So that when in real life, they removed the band very fast. Yeah, swift. And you win. And you win money. You become rich. And ministry. Be quick to read the books. And you'll be old just now. You'll be surprised. Anytime you see a father like Dr. Mashwangan, people who can give birth to us. I was in, when I was in Panama, I met a pastor, 79 years old. He preached in our church, Pastor Don George. Yeah, 79. It was his birthday, 79. No joint pains. No hip pains. Hip replacement pains. No kidney failure. Liver failure. Heart failure. Prostate failure. Eye failure. Today I was at the airport. I was looking. I said, I'm reading a sign. I cannot see. But would I not be able to read this before? Why am I not seeing this? I was confused. When you see that, it's a miracle. No cancer. No cancer of this kind. You better quickly get to the job. Because by the time you got the revelation, wow, I get it. But you got hip joint things now. You can't go anywhere with that hip joint. That hip joint will not allow you to move to second places. I get it. But it's swift. Strong. You will become strong through the books. You will be strong. I said you will be strong. Bread to the wise. Wisdom. You're gonna need wisdom. That's it. What do you think you get from a book? Especially, and I believe all of you are going to start watching out the revelation. When you start to get revelation, you see that like there's an angel present. Not that like there is. Angels. Bread to the wise. Riches to men of understanding. Why should you be in the ministry and be lacking money? You will never lack money after this conference in Jesus' name. By the end of this month, God is turning around your finances. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will happen to you. Understanding, but you see, people cannot relate understanding to riches. They can't relate it. They can't even connect the two. How is this connected to this? How can my understanding of things connect me to riches? But it's everything. That's what I was trying to explain to you, that you wouldn't want a dentist to operate on your heart. Would you want a dentist? He doesn't understand the heart. He studied a bit of whatever, but he's not understanding. Things that I understand. You see the church here? We have several churches. For somebody to have several churches of a certain size, it's something else. Yeah. And you have to see what understanding is there that I lack. Many of you are too happy with your little ministries. You know, I've been around South Africa. Yeah. I've been to town. Some of you have not been. Yeah. You are happy with little. But if you travel, you'll see that no. This is not a ministry. This is not a ministry. This is not a good church.
you will not like your church again. You say, oh no, this is not a good church.
Ah,
how do I call myself a pastor? Is this a pastor?
What? Look at the real pastor there. That's why you should travel.
It will stir you up.
Riches, favor to men of skill. When you travel, you see people who are skilled at pastoring.
Look, I went to Los Angeles, Bishop Blake. Actually, he came to me, and I went to his church. Oh, Ned, he's a father. He's like, he must be like 76 or years old now. I'm so honored to know these older pastors. Look, when he came to Ghana at the airport, he came with a team of a full bus of his members to visit Ghana. We took him through the VIP. He left us there and went to the normal place to go and look for his people. Yeah. And any time he says he's looking for his people. You see, that is where I even saw. You see, you will learn the skill of a pastor. It's like the way he cares for his people. It's not about being a big shot. Forget about big shotism. Let me see, where are my people? I wonder, are they okay? Is this one here? Where are you people in the bus? I said, everything. I was watching him. I said, look at it. Skill. That's why people choose his church. That's why Stevie Wonder is in his church. That's why Denzel Washington is in his church. That's why many of these actresses are in his church. They're all in. I met them there. I met all of them there. I was preaching. Denzel is sitting there. What is the film that he asked? What film is it? Equalizer. He was there. You see, nobody is choosing you to be in your church. Because there's some skills. You don't have those skills. Quickly learn the skills. Yeah. And you see, you will be the darling boy. I said, you'll be the darling boy at your workplace, in your church, in your city. People will choose you and say, wow! They say, we prefer this guy's church. Favor means I chose you. When a man loves a woman and he marries, he says, I've got to marry you. He says, wow, it means you've received favor. Esther received favor. All the ladies came by and they chose Esther. Favor. She became the darling girl of the whole beauty queen contest. And so, I like that one. Why do you like her? I say, I like her. Explain with diagrams. I say, I like her. There's no explanation for this one. I say, she's the one that I like. People will join your church without explanation. They say, why are you in that church? I don't know why I'm in the church. I am just in the church. People will give money to you and you wonder, why are you giving money to him? I don't know why I'm giving, but I want to give it to him. I like him. Look at that. Esther obtained grace and favor above all the virgins. Yeah. Favor is not to be beautiful. A lot of beautiful ladies are not married. A lot of beautiful girls are not married. Capital M, not. Are you not pastors? Which people are here? Are there pastors here? The people who are getting married in your church when you are officiating their wedding, are they the most beautiful girls? Never. Sometimes you even wonder whether the bridegroom has seen what he's doing very carefully. Wow! The wonder is saying, wow! Time people come and introduce there. They want to introduce, oh, this is the person I'm married. The pastor wants us, oh, why? It's like, oh, jeez. Oh, how are you? But their first reaction is, oh, why? Oh, sorry. I mean, how? Hello, how are you? I'm talking about favor. I said, I'm talking about being liked. Whether you are the most beautiful or the most ugly duckling in the world, you are liked. No one can explain why. God is going to make you the darling girl and the darling boy in your town. Time. Chance. Quickly. Do it in time. And chance. Amen. So brothers and sisters, I'm sharing with you about ministry. The art of ministry. Amen. Stand to your feet for a moment. Lunch is at 2 o'clock and it's 5 minutes to 2. So nobody should go and wee-wee now. I will tell you when to wee-wee. Exactly the time for your wee-wee, and it will start coming at that. Listen, wee-wee is controlled by the bladder muscle. Let me explain. Everybody listen. Are you listening? We have, there are several types of muscle. Smooth muscle, but not let's go. Bladder muscle, heart muscle, and skeletal muscles. When you take your skeletal muscles, like if you run, you walk, after some time you feel some tiredness and pain. That's a skeletal muscle. That's how it is. It gets tired. The second unusual muscle is the heart muscle, which has been running. If you are 40 years, it has been doing 80 per minute. Boom, boom, boom. It never feels pain. It never gets tired because it has some special mechanism refresh that refreshes itself. That's why it's beating. Like since you woke up, it's been beating. Can you imagine if your heart says, look, you know something, I'm tired. I need to take a break for 5 minutes. No. So that is cardiac muscle. Do you understand it? The third type, which I want you to understand, which concerns us about wee-weeing, is your bladder muscle. The bladder muscle is special in the sense that when your bladder is full, it's like a little pouch, it's full, you feel pressure. Whew, I need to wee-wee. But when you are not able to wee-wee, the bladder muscle, instead of staying tense, has a marvelous mechanism where it relaxes like this. It relaxes. And then you don't need to wee-wee. That's why you see that you needed to wee-wee at 8 o'clock, but you haven't had the chance to wee-wee till 2 o'clock. And you wonder how. But I really felt like at 8, but I'm able to stay. And the longer you stay, it keeps on tense, then it relaxes. No other muscle does that, only the bladder muscle. So when I say to you that I will tell you when the wee-wee is going to come, I know what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So remember, skeletal muscle is different, cardiac muscle is different, and bladder muscle is also has a special, because of the function. Yes, it has to have something different. Okay, so the baby is going to come soon, but not yet. Lift your hand and ask God for the revelation about ministry. You may be seated. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Lunch is at 2. I will give you a break very soon. I'm aware it's 10 seconds to 2 o'clock. 1 Chronicles 12:8, NASB, please. 2 Chronicles 12:8, NASB. And I want you to enjoy the verses. Actually, you don't even need to write anything. Everything is in here, but if you want to, you can write. And then also, I'm preaching from this book, The Art of Ministry. Yeah, The Art of Ministry. It says, listen, they will become his slaves. Okay, read verse 7. Let's go to verse 7, please. When the Lord said that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah saying, they have humbled themselves, so I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some measure of deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured on Jerusalem by means of Shishak. Okay? Verse 8. But they will become his slaves, okay, so that they may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Yeah. They will become his slaves. They are going to become the slaves of Egypt or wherever it was. That they will learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. You see, my dear friend, serving God is different from not serving God. And the service of God is a wonder and a special vocation. It's like being a nurse, being a caterer, being a chef, being a carpenter, being a doctor, whatever job. Ministry is serving God. And there is a difference between serving God and serving in the world. And that is why this book is very important, because it shows you the art of serving God in the ministry. He says, you'll become his slaves so that you may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Now there is a difference. And that is why the fact that you are an accountant in the world does not mean you can be an accountant in the house of God. Don't even start. The fact that you are an administrator in the service of the kingdoms of this world does not mean you can be an administrator in the kingdom of God. There is a difference. Malachi 3. There is a difference between them that serve the Lord and them that serve him not. Verse 18. It says, then shall you return. Are you there? Malachi is known for, you know, tithing. But there's a very wonderful verse that I want you to add to the Malachi. I know you only know one verse in Malachi. You are cursed. It's a curse because you have robbed me. Shall a man rob God? But this one is a verse you have to know. Amen. It says, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. You see the difference. And between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There is a difference. There is a big difference. And that is why I pray that, you see, ordinary Christian church members who want to work for God should also be here. How many are here who are not pastors, but you are just want to serve God? Raise your hand. Very, very good. I see all of you. Yes. Wonderful. There is a difference. And you see, people behave according to what they know. And so if you don't teach it, you see, and one of the things is even the way you enter this work is that you enter the work by a call of God. Without a call, you should never be in the ministry. Okay?
And by the way, many are called. many are called. Do you see? So it's likely that you are called. It's more unlikely that you are not called. Those of you who have been coming to church doing nothing, you just warm the chairs, warm the pews. This conference marks the end of your barrenness. And what I want you to learn in this conference is the art of working for God. Don't bring worldly things to us. That's not what we need. I have found that the people that rarely do I have a lawyer doing legal things or an accountant doing accounting things at a certain higher level. You see, in Acts 6, he said, choose out, when there was an administrative issue, he said, look for men of wisdom and of the Holy Ghost. Look out amongst you 7 men of honest report. If you are not honest, you can steal all the money of Grace Bible Church. Yes. That's what we need more than anything. Honest people. And then you need full of the Holy Ghost. Like if you are not spiritual, you will not understand many things. You need to be spiritual. So we can't say, well, I work for SABC, so I'm the one who is doing the television. You are probably the wrong person. You are probably the wrong person. Yeah. The door to enter the ministry is the door of the call of God. And when you don't pass through that call, you come through another door, which is the door in the world. The doors are different before even the inside is different. The door to the world is, how much did you pay me? How much are you offering? SABC is offering me 12,000 rands a month. How much do you offer? 14,200. Okay, I'll contact you in 2 weeks to let you know. SABC is 12,000. You're offering 14,200. Okay. I have another offer from Pentecostal World Angels International Supernatural Church. And I want to see what they have to offer. Yes. They are offering 15,100. Grace Bible Church is offering 14,200 and SABC is only 12,000. I'm going to take the Pentecostal World International Supernatural Church. That's the door to the world's work. If I was working in the world, basically I would be looking for the higher salary. Oh yes, I don't see why you should do the same work and you are getting so little. Yeah. Accountant, you're an accountant, you want to job as an accountant, this is the door. How much do you offer? Oh, this bank, Stanbic, is giving me this. FNB is going to give me 6,300. You are giving me only 3,000. What am I wasting my time for? Off to Stanbic. And after Stanbic saying that they are going to take me to Los Angeles in June, and from there I'll be going to Tokyo, Japan, and then from there I'll come through Cairo, Egypt, and then back to back to Johannesburg. I mean, it's a good life. I think I'll take it. Oh yeah, I got a job at South African Airways, and Emirates are also offering me very good rate. South African Airways is paying 6,000 rands, and Emirates are offering me 15,000, twice, more than twice. I told my mother about it. My mother said, of course, I should move to Emirates. But I told my mother that I'll be going to Dubai a lot. She said, no problem, you go to Dubai. 15,000 is more than 6,000. Yeah. That's the door. The door to every workplace is the amount that they are paying you and the amount that they have to offer. The door to the working for God and the door to the ministry have nothing to do with how much they are going to pay you. And every church which puts out, this is how much we can pay you, sets itself up for a problem. I've never employed anybody based on what they say. like we offer them. I remember one lady, very powerful executive. She came. I said, I need somebody to really help me with this and that and that. So she came along, and then I said, how much? She said, well, at this place where I work, they are paying me so many. She mentioned, I mean, dollars. So many thousand dollars. I told her, oh, here, there's nothing like that here. Bye-bye. And that was it. She went. Recently, I saw her. You know, she was saying, you never took me. I said, we never took you, but your money was too much. We cannot pay you. Another lady, she came. She was working the United Nations. She came. I said, I really need. I called. I said, come. I really need somebody to do this and that. And then she went for the interview. How much will pay? So, this is a small one that we have. What? This is a tithe. This is my tithe. You know, this is your tithe. It's your tithe. So, yeah. Practically, the door to the ministry is not how much you have been. And that was the end. She put, said, sorry. And she left. Some years later, the same person came back. Whatever you give me, I like it. Whatever you give me is okay. Then I said, come. Now she's with me. I'm sure she's somewhere here. You see, and I got a better person because I gave her the right door. I got a better person in my life. Yes, because I put the right door. This is the door. Come. Yes. The door to the kingdom is not a door of showing how much. No, it's a door that God has called me. I cannot say no. Whether you give me or what, I'm going to serve him. And nothing, I don't even want anything. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Yeah. That's why we are surrounded by vampires in the church. Blood-drinking workers. To even control the sound, they will be charging you.
Well, this conference is, you know, my hourly rate is 920 per hour.
Yeah, because you see, it's my job, you know, here in South Africa, you know, we work, you know, and you can't just come over when you hear the whole day, and you know, it's 920 per hour. Bah! Go away.
A lot of people can do all those things that you are doing. Every pastor should know how to connect the wires in the church. Connect the wires, my friend. Roll up your sleeve and don't be a big man too early. To turn the sound from volume 4 to 6, we have to pay you 900 rands. Wow. Everything charging to work in the house. Oh, Bishop Moser, you want a PA, personal assistant? Well, no problem. I've been a PA for the managing director of Stanbic Bank. I've been a PA for the MD of FNB. I've been a PA for South African Airways, chief executive. I've been a PA for whatever. I work at this. How much do you have to offer me?
This is a dangerous person. This is a dangerous person.
You may say, oh, but you see, his salaries are working. Yes. But I will tell you, if you want people to come and serve God with their hearts, you better learn to put money aside and show them the real door. The door is humility. Look at it. Say, look for people who have full of the Holy Ghost. Honest report. These are the people that we need, whom we can appoint over this business. Yes. But we are looking for people, you know, of certain whatever, this and that. And those people don't even know how to do the things. God did not call me to work for him and ask me, how much are you going to pay me? You Google and find salaries of doctors in America. Check it up and see. Most of my mates are there. You see the millions that they are earning. I never came to a ministry and said, Lord, well, unless you know what a doctor earns in America, you better match that or else. See you later, alligator, in a wild crocodile. This is what I'm worth. You are nothing. You are worth nothing. It's a privilege for somebody to even look in your direction. The art of ministry starts by coming through the door. It's like coming to church, you come through the door. The door is not how high, how much you are going to get. How much this, how much that. That's why people can't be pastors. That's why a lot of young people cannot be in the ministry. Yeah. So how much am I going to get? How much, you know? Well, you know, we got to survive, you know, we got to live, you know, we need this, we need that, you know, we got to make it. Yeah. No. Cost of living. That's why you don't have quality people. You don't have quality people. Quality people. Yeah. Yeah. You see some of the people that will, when you see them, you think they are just church properties. But you'll be surprised where they are from. What they do. And where they were, the high things they were, the jobs that they are doing now. Because you will never get a high quality person when it's based on money. Money is a bad god, oh. Hey. Even relationship, people marry, you know, you go to marry a girl, you show her your BMW car keys, you'll be twinkling the car keys, you'll be, yeah. And you tell you tell the girl, oh, I'm going to Tokyo, I'm going to Japan, and then I'll be passing through Cairo. I'll pass through Cairo, and then I'll go through Germany, and then through Syria, and I'll be back. And she feels that, wow, this is a high flyer. And then you take her for dinner here, you buy her this, you buy clothes, buy that. It's like you are buying her love. Love, you cannot buy with money, oh. Love, you cannot buy with money. You cannot buy somebody with money. When I was following my wife, I never bought anything for her. It wasn't intentional. I didn't buy anything for her. I took her to a restaurant. I didn't have money. I was a student. She's my first love. My first love. First person. That's the one I married. I took her to a restaurant. I didn't have money. We ordered spring rolls. Do you know spring rolls? Spring rolls. Chinese spring rolls. Yeah. I had enough money for two portions. One portion has two pieces. So I used to buy two portions. The two of us, and we sit outside in the car. And then she has one portion, I have one, but I used to eat most of her portion as well. Yeah, that's all I have. That's love. Love is not money. Oh, take this money, this, what you, as oh, you love me here, take, oh, got money here, showing. One day I met some, I said, all brothers over 35, come and see me after church. Brothers who are not married over the age of 35, come and see me after church. So they all came. And I said, why are you guys not married? I said, 35, you are not married. All of them, almost every one of them said,
well, Bishop, the reason why we are not married is quite simple. The young girls of today, they are too expensive. You need a lot of money to look after them. I said, look at that. You have gone for the wrong girls.
Who need money? Yeah, you didn't have money also. Yes, that's why you are still together. Yeah. What about if you are broke? Yeah. Some people, they charge to have sex. Yes. You pay. You in the marriage. You pay. Want to have sex with me? Want to have sex with me? Sign. Check. Look. All my stories are true stories. So the one that is not true, I'll tell you that it's not a true story. All my stories are true stories. Unless I tell you. I've heard from more than one pastor. And I'm talking about pastors. Don't start other things, please. I'm talking about pastors. They have the checkbook hidden under the pillow. And at the exact moment, and they bring out the pen, sign. Yes. All my stories are true stories. Why should you buy somebody's love with money? God is not buying your love. You love him. He loves you. You love him. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't take. God so loved the world that he took. God so loved he gave. When you love God, you give. You give yourself to. That's the start of ministry. Yeah, it's not about what am I getting? What do you take? How much do you take? So how much do the security officers in your church take? How much do the music directors take? How much does the drama take to come in to play for this conference? Drama is how much is it taking? Hey! No, I don't like such things. I prefer with silence. I'll just sing to. I have a song that I sing. What's the song that I sing sometimes when I do? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. So praise His holy. When there's no music, the musician, this is what I sing. Bless the Lord. Let's sing it together. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise His holy name. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He reigns forever. He reigns forever. He's merciful. He's merciful. Bless His holy name.
I want to bless the Lord.
Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise His holy.
Can you sing it?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise His holy.
But the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
He reigns forever.
He reigns forever.
He's merciful.
He's merciful.
Bless His holy.
So this is a song you can sing when there are no musicians. Sit down. Lunch is at 2:00 exactly. And we are having lunch. Yeah. Are you not eating? Jesus said, I have bread you know not of. The art of ministry, the door is humility. You cannot enter by being big. Yes. My friendship with Bishop Bosasono is not by being big. Yes. The door to things is not by being big. No. 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 It is an, I see it as an honor. He has honored me and I see it as an honor. Yes. It's not a, there's nothing like that. No. It's an honor. This is a wonder. It's not financial. No. We have been for years. This building, even the foundation had not started. We were meeting in the tent somewhere down there. Homemakers. Yes. That is where we're meeting, this same church. You can't go forward with bigness. Yeah. Small and enter. Become small size and enter the humble door. Bigger, how much you are? Big. You will not enter all the things. You'll be watching them. And you never. How much do you have for me when I come and preach for you? How much is it? How much is it? You'll never go far. Not in this work. Put that verse back on, please. 2 Chronicles 12:2. Put it back on. Yeah. They'll become his slaves. So that they will learn. And all of us in this conference, we have just started, have to learn the difference between the service, my service, God is in my service, and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Yes. There is a big difference. Yes. This man here, he works in the... Don't stand up. He works in one of these top institutions.
If ever he comes to see me, I don't know how much he earns, but he must earn a lot of money. If ever he comes to see me, that he wants to come and work, do you think I'm going to ask him what is he getting there, and therefore we are going to double what he's getting? Never. And I can tell you in advance, check your tithe, and it may be around your tithe. That is why I have quality people. Very quality. Good people. Good people. They are doing so many wonders. The ministry that God has given me can never be done without helpers. Without a certain type of person who is not doing whatever they are doing for financial. What I will get from you, I'm getting this, I'm taking this. No, no. That's why many of us are stuck. We are stranded. Whatever causes you to be stranded is being lifted today in the name of Jesus. And that is why it's good for pastors to be here with their workers. Yes. So some of you have to repent of that. That's not the door to this work. This great, and God takes care of us. You see, people are always, they always want, you want you to say, yes, you are going to be rich. That is not what God, Jesus, you don't, that is not how Jesus invites you. That's not how you are invited to God. Come and be rich. Come and get things. Come and take. No. Come to Jesus. Give him your heart today. Give him your life. Take up your cross. Suffer for him and come. Why do you not want me to say the things in the way it is said in the Bible? You want me to change it and make it. Come and get things. Come and receive. That's not how the invitations are done. But we pastors, we are inviting people with fantastic things. Oh, you will be this. Come and have this. Be great. Be, what is great? God doesn't offer you greatness. He offers you smallness. Go down. And he shall lift you up. I see you being lifted. In Jesus' mighty name. Have you received an offering today? Take out an offering quickly before we go for lunch. We are going to be giving offerings as we go along. Don't be upset. Don't be angry. Amen. And I know you are not angry. Take out a good offering. Ida, when we come from lunch, yes, I'm sure those who prepare the lunch are happy that we are late, so they had enough time to prepare. Somebody said, why am I giving? You are giving because that's the right thing to do. Amen. Lift up your offering. Father, thanks a million for this chance to give an offering today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up.
Where are you going? Please, when we finish the offering, I'll dismiss you. Don't go. Please, sit down. Are you bringing the offering here? Oh, okay.
Humble
so I thought you were
yourself
going
by the side of the Lord.
Hey.
He shall lift you up.
Come quickly, please.
Oh, humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Say, humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up. He shall lift you. He shall lift you up. He shall lift you up. If you just humble yourself by the side of the Lord, he shall lift you up. All you gotta do is humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up. The way down is the way up. He shall lift you up. The way forward is the way back. I know he shall lift you up. And if you let, you will be left yourself. I know he shall lift you up.
By the side of the Lord, he shall lift you up. Oh, humble yourself by the side of the Lord, he shall lift you up. I know he shall lift you up. He shall lift you up if you just humble yourself.
Be lifted up.
He shall lift you up if you humble yourself by the side of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Oh, I wanna say he shall lift you up. I know that he will. Yeah, he will lift you up, my God, and he can lift you up, my God, he's able, he shall lift you up.
Let us pray. Are you finishing your offering? Father, thanks a million for this wonderful offering that we have received. Bless everyone that gave. Lord, I thank you that the determinants are determining our ministry and even our finances. Our finances are turning around. Wisdom and understanding is coming. We're never going to be poor again. And we are not going to struggle in the ministry. We are going to serve you with joy and with gladness. People are going to turn around and see there's a difference between the wicked and the righteous. And between those that serve the Lord and those that serve him not. I ask for it in Jesus. I pray, Lord, that in the coming sessions, Lord, whatever is a key needed for our improvement and our moving forward, you will place it in every hand. I ask and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated for a moment. Thank you. What do you call it? The Macarius. Please, everybody, make sure you have these 40 books. It has been made and it has worked for me in the sense that I've tried so hard to be able to get it to a price that is possible. And so I'm excited that it is available for those who register. I hope I'm saying the right things. Yeah, registration. Only so make sure you register with whatever the price they are saying, and just have it. And if possible, have it here so that when I open a book, you also open the book and you see. That's how the seals are opened. They say you understand the book better. Because sometimes it says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Do you understand what you are reading? Yeah. So I believe that God is giving us understanding for the things that we are reading. And I tell you, whatever it takes for God to raise you up to do great things, I feel in my heart God is waiting for South Africa. Yes. I believe it. How can you have the most advanced country in many ways not produce great missions into the world? It's not working together. Huh? Yes. Yeah. And that is turning around in Jesus' name. Usually, you see, usually the prosperity of a country is correlates with the missions that, and the churches of that country. Yeah. Usually it correlates. So I feel that God is waiting for South Africa, and I feel in my heart, you know, we have sown a lot of seeds, and this seed is one of the biggest seeds. We've sown a lot of seeds in South Africa, different towns, different places. When I say we've sown seed, we have spent money. We haven't got money. We have spent money here. We have spent money, sowed seed, books, things. It's a seed. And it is my belief that the seed will bear fruit, and that South Africans. But I will go to a country and I will say, "Ah, what is that? What is that church? There's, oh, there's a South African guy who came here 9 years ago, and look at that. A lot of people going to his church. There, a lot of people are saved." I believe I'll hear it. You know, years ago I used to say that one day I'll be driving by and I'll see a church, Lighthouse Chapel International, and I'll ask, who is the pastor there? Because I don't know them. There'll be so many pastors that I don't know them. And today it has happened. I don't know most of my pastors now. Yes. Not, maybe most. A whole lot of them, I don't know them. It's a problem. Yes. Yeah. Because there are many. We have 1,917 churches. Yes. And 1,918 pastors, something like that. Yeah. So the problem I'm telling you is that, I'm prophesying to you, see, it says, "I have also spoken by the prophets and multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." So I'm using a similitude. I'm saying that just as it happened to me, and I said that I will pass by and I'll say, "Who is the pastor there? And what is it?" I will also see South Africa and say, "Ah, which church is this?" So yeah, he's the main pastor in this country now. He's a South African. He's not even from here. It will happen. God will raise up many, many people to do great things. In Jesus' name. A country which makes missiles. I know some of my, I have members in South Africa. They make missile, cruise missiles here in South Africa that America buys. And you can't make one Christian missile, a missionary, a missile of a missionary. You will make it. Yes. Missiles to kill are made here, bought even by America. And how much more for us to send from South Africa? Go to Zambia. Go to Congo. Go to Malawi. Be a shining light. That's the work of God. That's the work of God. And you are the next missionary in Jesus' name. How many of you here from Grace Bible Church? Wave your hand. Grace Bible Church. Wow. Yes. God sent me here to speak to all of you from Grace Bible Church. Look, God is expecting things from you. Take it from me. He says, "I've also spoken by the prophets." I'm now speaking as a prophet. And multiplied visions and view similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. God is expecting things from you. To whom much is given, much is expected. I'm telling you. If you are here and you are in Grace Bible Church, listen carefully, especially if you are young. A lot of the older ones in Grace Bible Church, they will tell you, they now understand, they have wisdom, but the time is past. So now, a lot of the young ones, it's your turn. I said it's your turn. Are you listening to me? Put your hands together. Welcome, Bishop Saki.